I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bible to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. You know, I've been thinking for the last 4 or 5 weeks since I've been out about a question that I'd like to ask you this morning before we even get into our message. And that question is this: if you had one word, or could I only use one word to sum up who and what Jesus is to you, what would that word be? I want you to think about that for a moment. If you could use one word, only one word, to sum up what and who He is to you, what would that word be? And I begin to think about words that I could use, and I'm sure love would have been one of them. Forgiveness. Grace, you know, amazing, joy. There's so many words, but really, after being gone for about 4 or 5 weeks from the pulpit and dealing with the recovery from the brain surgery, I really thought about this. And I believe if I could use one word to describe the relationship that I have with Christ through the work of the cross, and the love that I feel from Him and all that He is and all that He wants to be in my life, if I could use one word to sum up that relationship, that would be the word hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's a word that means praise the Lord when you see it in your Bible. Brother Randy, did you know it's a universal word? I've traveled the country and I've traveled overseas, and it amazes me. It's a universal word because pretty much in every language it is spoken the same way, hallelujah. In Albania, hallelujah, Sister Stephanie. The Philippines, hallelujah. Japan, hallelujah. So it's a universal word that means praise the Lord. And I reckon that's how I'd sum up all that He is to me. It's simply, hallelujah, Lord. You're so great and you're so mighty. You're so good. You're so long-suffering. And it amazes me. Here's how good God's timing is. If you'd have been here 5 Sundays ago, on Sunday morning 5 Sundays ago, we have been preaching through the book of Revelation. We have been spending about 4 months going through it. Now, if you'd have been here 5 Sundays ago, the last time that I spoke, we'd have finished up with chapter 18 in the book of Revelation. If I would not have had the surgery, the following Sunday, I would have preached from chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. And it amazes me. Listen as we read these verses. I often wonder, God, why does things happen the way that they happen? And now I understand. You see, God did not want me to preach this message 5 Sundays ago. Because maybe you would not have been here. But God allowed me to go through what I did for 5 weeks so that I could stand here this morning and look at verses 1 through 6 of Revelation chapter 19 and bring the message that He wants for this moment, for these people, and for me that's here this morning. Notice what the revelator there, John, said in chapter 19 of verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments. For He has judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and has avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they say, hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah. 4 different times we see it in this beginning of this chapter. Now, you see, I believe God wants us to praise Him. I appreciate the songs that were sung and tried to be sung because all of them had that tune or that theme of praising God, thanking God, worshiping God. The more I think about the word hallelujah, I've come to the conclusion that God is worthy of our praise. And we ought to not be ashamed to praise Him. You see, not only is He worship, and not only is He worthy of it, but I also know that God inhabits the praise of His people. The Bible says where there is a praising people, God's presence will be in the midst thereof. You know that God even commands that we praise Him? When you read the scriptures there, you'll find in Psalms 150, verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Even what we read here in verses 6, let everything that has voice, what? Praise God. You see, God is worthy of our praise. I believe He deserves it. I really do. After I think about everything He's done for me, if He would have just saved me and done nothing else after salvation, He's still worthy of my praise. He deserves it today. I believe He also desires it. What Heavenly Father would not desire the praise of His children? You see, I remember when Caleb was a little small boy, you know, I used to love having him brag on me. There were those rare occasions I'll never forget. You know, being a dad has its goods and bads. Well, most of them were good, not many bad. But let me just say this. I remember one time. You ever sneak up on your children and they may be talking to somebody and they don't know you're listening? That can go good or bad, can it? Well, I remember one time I slipped into the living room. Caleb had some of his friends over and I just kind of stood and, you know, going to see what the conversation was all about. Lo and behold, I heard Caleb say to his friends, man, I believe my dad's the smartest man on earth. At first, I wanted to do what y'all did, laugh. And then he said, I believe my dad can do anything. And man, you talk about my heart swelling up in pride. To hear my son to be unashamed to brag on his dad. And I think, how much does God delight in the praise of His children? When we brag on Him, when we let others know that, hey, He is worthy of our praise. He desires it. He delights in it. The Bible says that He demands it. He wants us to come and He wants us to praise Him with all our heart, the Bible says. Come to Him with everything that we are, body, soul, and spirit. Give all our heart and worship and praise to Him. Do we do that really? Don't He deserve 100% of our heart's praise and worship? The Bible says that we ought to praise Him in the congregation in the house of God. I'm glad that we can praise Him here. I've been to some churches where they were just dead. You've been there, you probably know what I'm talking about. I mean, if somebody said amen, half the congregation would get scared and look at them. You see, I'm glad that we can sing songs of worship. We can praise Him here in the house. If we ever stop praising God in this house, we just will shut the doors down. He deserves our praise from our heart in His house. And even in chapter 19, verses 1 through 6, we see where the heavens will give praise to God. There is coming a day when there is going to be an hallelujah chorus sung in the heavens here in these 6 verses. And all the redeemed of the Lord are going to get together and we're going to raise our voices up. I think, why wait till then? Let's practice now. We ought to have a hallelujah chorus practice. I ought to get all our church members up here or have many if we can say, okay, let's just start hallelujah and just start singing hallelujah. Because one day that's going to happen. You say, Brother Terry, why are they singing hallelujah in these 6 verses here? Why 4 times is hallelujah mentioned in just 6 verses? Well, I want to look at 4 reasons why you ought to praise the Lord. 4 reasons that I ought to praise Him. 4 reasons that if you have these in your life that we should be unashamed to announce to the world, hallelujah, we praise our Lord. Notice with me number 1. In verse 1, John the Revelator. Those of you that have not been here for the last 4 months, you've missed out on the preaching through the book of Revelation, but notice what that first phrase says. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying hallelujah. Now, before you can get to the hallelujahs, you've got to deal with that first statement there in verse 1 of chapter 19. And after these things, Then come the four hallelujahs. What were the things that have taken place? What were the things that the revelator here knew that had taken, already come to be before the people saying hallelujah? Well, I tell you what, after these things were the first 18 chapters of this book. Now, if you've never studied the book of Revelation, you don't know what the first 18 chapters have in them. You don't know the subject of each of those chapters. You don't know what was dealt with and what was gone through in chapters 1 through 18. So you really can't understand the four hallelujahs. So here's what I'm going to do very quickly. I'm going to give you 18 chapters of the book of Revelation and what took place. So I want you to hold on. I want you to turn up your listening aids if you got them, because I'm going to speak real quick, because I can smell that food coming up from the floor right now, and I know you can too, so you ain't going to want to stick around for a long time. You see, it says, after these things, chapter 1 was the unveiling of Christ. 2,000 years ago, he ascended up into heaven. Now he is there as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And in chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, you will see the unveiling of Christ, what he's doing, what he's been doing, and what he is fixing to do. You go to chapters 2 and 3, and you'll see the seven letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor. Seven churches, and with the Lord, he rebuked some of them. He encouraged some of them. He challenged others to be faithful to him. That's chapters 2 and 3. In chapter 4, you read there, and I see the rapture of the Lord's New Testament church. I see the coming of Christ and his bride being taken out of this world there in chapter 4. In chapter 5, you see a seven sealed book. You see the title deed to creation, and a search is who is worthy to unloosen that book, who is worthy to pull back those seals and redeem that which is lost back to God. And we see that the Lion from the tribe of Judah, Christ, the Lamb that had been slain, he's the only one that is worthy to unloose that book. That's in chapter 5. Then you get to chapter 6, and you see the seven sealed judgments. The unloosing of those seals, we're introduced in chapter 6 to the four horsemen of Revelation. We see that there will be a rider on a white horse, which will picture false peace. There will be a red horse, which is war. We see there will be a black horse, which is famine, and there will be a gray horse, which is death. We see all that in chapter 6. Then you go to chapter 7, you'll see 144,000 Jews sealed by God that will be the remnant of the nation that God uses to set up his millennial kingdom. That's all in chapter 7. Chapters 8 and 9, we see the unleashing of the seven trumpet judgments that God is going to place on this world. If you want to know what this world is headed for, you go to chapter 7, chapters 8, and chapter 9, and you begin to see the series of judgment that are going to come on this world when Jesus Christ comes and raptures his church, resurrects those that are dead in Christ. Then there will be 7 years of tribulation like the world has never seen before and never will experience again. God will unleash the seven seal judgments, and then he will unleash what is known as the seven trumpet judgments. Seven trumpets will sound upon this world, and this is what's going to happen. The first one will sound, and the Bible says that a third of the trees and the grass will burn up. I want you to think about that for a moment. A third of the trees and grass upon this world will burn up. Can you imagine the pollution, the smog, the problems that that's going to cause? And then the second trumpet will sound, and the Bible says a third of the sea will turn to blood, and the things therein will die. You got a world getting in trouble already. And then the third trumpet will sound. It says a third of the rivers shall be poisoned. The drinking water, the fountains of life here upon this world that people live out of, they will be poisoned. Can you imagine all the problems that's going to have with the drinking water, all the factories and the power plants? That's just with three trumpet judgments being sound. And then the fourth trumpet will sound, and it says a third of the sun shall be darkened. The daylight will only be for 8 hours. You talk about a climate change. You talk about freeze taking place, crops being destroyed. That's when that fourth trumpet sounds, and then the fifth trumpet will sound, and the Bible says that demonic locusts will come up out of the bottomless pit, these demonic spirit creatures, and they will sting man for 5 months, and man will not be able to die. Hell will bubble up from beneath, and these creatures, these spiritual things will come upon mankind, and man will hope to die, wish to die, and maybe even try to die, and God will stop death for 5 months. Wow, you got a world in trouble. And then the sixth trumpet shall sound, and 200 million man army will march across the Euphrates River, and a third of the world's population will die at their hands. Nearly 2 billion people will fall at that army's side. And then the Bible says that the seventh trumpet shall sound, and it shall open 7 worse trials and judgments to come. You see, that's all in chapters 8 and 9. And then you get to chapter 10, it speaks about a little book that John is told to eat. It'll be sweet in your mouth, bitter in your stomach. To me, it's the gospel, sweet to us that are saved, bitter to them that reject it. That's chapter 10. Chapter 11 tells of 2 witnesses that will stand for God in the tribulation period, and they will be killed. Their bodies will lay in the streets 3.5 days. The world will celebrate. They will give presents, and then after 3.5 days, God will raise them back to life and bring them up into his heaven. That's all chapter 11. You go to chapter 12, and then you're going to see a war in heaven, where Michael and his angels shall fight against devil and his angels, and the devil shall lose. And the Bible says that he shall be cast out of the heavens. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for he comes down to you. Listen, there's going to be a heavyweight fight somewhere in the future, and God's angelic beings, they're going to win that fight. You go to chapter 13, you're introduced to the Antichrist and the false prophet in the number 666. You're going to have a world system, an economic system controlled by Satan and his men. And that's all there in chapter 13. Chapter 14 shows us the preview to the Battle of Armageddon. A great battle that's going to take place on this planet, to where the Bible says that the blood shall run up to the horse's bridle. So many people will be slain during that wartime that blood will fill the valleys. You see, that's all chapter 14. Chapter 15 and 16 tells us about the seven last plagues that God will pour upon this world. You see, things are in a mess already, but things are even going to get worse, because the Bible says that when those 7 vile judgments are poured out, that there will be sores, boils, and blisters on the head to the feet of mankind. Not only will there be blisters, the Bible says that all the sea shall turn to blood. All the rivers of water shall be poisoned. It says that the sun shall be turned up, so it'll be great heat, so that it will scorch men. Wow, you got people in trouble. There will be a darkness that envelops this world, because this world loves sin, and sin is darkness. And then the Bible says there'll be a great earthquake. The very foundation of the world that we stand on shall be shaken. The mountains shall fall, the cities shall collapse. Folks, everything people thought was sure and settled will be shaken under their feet. That's all coming. See, that's chapter 1 through chapter 18. When you study those 18 chapters, then you get to chapter 19, and John the Revelator says, and after these things, after everything that I just hurried across, after every detail of all the judgments and the death and the doom and the destruction, after everything that is horrendous that could happen to this planet upon which we live and the people that live upon it, after all the struggles and the sorrows that they're going through down here, it says, and after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah. Then comes the chorus. Then comes the 4 hallelujahs. You see, it is those that are in the heavens that are singing praise. It are those that are in the heavens that are saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I'm not down there. I'm not going through all that. Oh, wow, listen what they say hallelujah for. In verse 1 it says, and after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation. Wow. The hallelujah of redemption. I'm glad I'm saved today. I don't know about you. I don't know about you. I don't know if you're lost or saved. I don't know if you're glad that you're saved, if you are saved. I'm glad that I'm saved. I am so thrilled that I'm on the winning side. I'm so grateful that I will be up in the heavens looking down upon this world when all this craziness fulfills itself, and I'm going to be looking at Christ kind of saying, amen, hallelujah, I'm glad I'm saved. You see, I know my testimony. I know where I was at. I know how lost I was. I know how sinful I was. I know how shameful I was and how guilty I was. Listen, I am glad that I'm saved this morning. My salvation reminds me of a story I heard of a woman who took her little daughter down to the dump. They were throwing trash away. And there, as they backed up, and as the mother was unloading all the garbage upon the trash pile, she lost sight of her little girl. And after a while, she looked. Her little girl came walking to her with an object in her hand. She looked and she said, "What do you got?" She said, "It's a little baby doll." And the mother looked at it and said, "It is filthy. It is rags. It is tarnished. It stinks. Throw that thing away." And the little girl clung unto it and said, "No, Mama, let me bring it home. I can wash it. I can bathe it. I can put clothes on it. I can clean it up. I can give it my name. It can stay in my home." And I thought, that's what God did for me. He looked down and he said, "Oh, Terry, you stink. Terry, you're filthy. You're no good. You're just in the worst of situations." Appreciate that, Brother Young. Tell him how to practice, ain't it? Amen. God looked down and the world said, "Just throw him away. He ain't no good. He's filthy. He's sinful. He should be condemned." Leaving in the trash pile of sinfulness. And Christ owed his heavenly Father, "But I love it. I love him. I'll take him home. I'll wash him in my blood. I'll put robes of righteousness upon him. I'll give him my name, and he can live with me forever." Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I sing a little song every now and then. If you're happy and you know it, say amen. Or clap your hands, you know. Or if you're saved and you know it, shout out. If you're saved and you know it, shout amen. I've changed all. I rewritten my own song. If you're saved and you know it, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved. We will be in the heavens looking down upon all this world goes through. And if you're a child of God, if you've been saved by the grace of Christ, if you've repented of your sins and asked him to save you by the work of the cross, listen, you will be there with me one day looking down, and we will be shouting, "Hallelujah, salvation, salvation, salvation." Amen. Amen. The hallelujah of redemption. Notice there in verse 2, though, it continues this hallelujah course. "For true and righteous are his judgments. For he has judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth in her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand." And notice in verse 3, "And again they said, Hallelujah, her smoke rose up forever and ever." The hallelujah of retribution. You see, we're going to be in heaven, and God is going to judge sin upon this world. You see, you are either going to be in the day of grace or the day of wrath. One day we'll have the mindset of Christ, and we will actually shout out, "Praise the Lord," when he brings judgment upon sin and sinners upon this world. You see, the Bible tells it that this is the day of grace, but there will be a day when God laughs at the sins of man. You can even accept his grace right now. You can be saved and forgiven of your sins. You can stand before him as he is your Savior, your Lord, your King, your Master. Or you will stand before him and he will be your judge. It all determines upon what you do with Christ and what he did at the cross. It ain't anything about this religion. It isn't anything about giving your money or being good. What have you done with Christ? Are you saved? Will you experience the day of grace, or will you face his wrath? You see, one day in the heavens, we will look down and God will judge sin. All the atrocities that have been placed upon his people, all the wickedness and evilness that's been done against his saints and his church. You see, God will judge sin one day. And in heaven, we will lend our voice with the angels and we will say, "Hallelujah. Hallelujah." You see, I pray that you would accept that grace while you have the opportunity. I pray nobody hears. I pray nobody here has to ever stand before him as your judge. how terrible would it be for him to look at one of us or look in you and say, I don't know you. Depart from me into everlasting fire. You see, sin will be judged. And God will judge it in righteousness and truth. And we will shout, Alleluia, 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 when he brings his judgment down upon this wicked world that crucified his son and has caused all the horrendous things that have been done. Alleluia. Alleluia, because I'm saved, that's my redemption. Alleluia, because of his retribution, he will judge sin. But notice in verse 4, we have the third course of alleluia. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, alleluia. I just call this the alleluia of recognition. 24 elders, 4 beasts around the throne of God, when they see all that he's doing and all that he's done, they will cast their crowns before him, fall down on their knees, and cry out, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. The Alleluia of recognition. They will realize who he is and what he's all about. When we see the very person of Christ, when we see him sitting in all his glory and splendor and power, when we see him in the role that he truly is, I guarantee you, we will fall down upon our faces and we will say hallelujah. We will realize the God that we serve, that he is our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is what the Bible says, our high priest, the captain of our salvation, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the everlasting God. He is Jesus. And I will fall down before him and just simply say hallelujah. That's my greatest desire as of this day right now, is to one day in a sinless body, in a mind and a heart that can give 100% glory and honor to him, is to bow before him and just say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I finally recognize and see who you are. You see, these great beasts and these 24 elders, when they were around that throne, they were overtaken with the majesty and the glory, the honor of the one that sat upon that throne. And it drove them to worship and say hallelujah. When's the last time you've recognized Christ like that? When's the last time he's became so overwhelming to you that it drove you to your knees at an altar, to where all you could do was just simply bow your head and say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah? You see, that's the hallelujah of recognition, but it doesn't stop there. Because you see in verse 5 and 6, we see the last course of this alleluia song. And it said, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, alleluia. Why? Notice the end of that verse. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The alleluia of reigning, returning Christ. One day he is going to come back. One day he is going to reign upon this world. One day he is going to hold that position to where all nations shall bow before him and all tongues shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Listen, he will be in control then. And we will simply lend our voice and say, hallelujah, for the Lord is returning and he's going to reign. Wow, one day we're going to be home with him when he's doing that. I don't know about you, but I kind of get a little excited about going home. Now, Brother Richard here, as I mentioned earlier, he's headed to the promised land. He's headed to Mississippi. though if he would go further south to about Biloxi, he would really be in the promised land. He's getting close, but I know how it feels to want to go home. I mean, once a year we try to go home, and I get excited about it. I don't know about you. I get excited about it. We load all our stuff up. We usually head out earlier than my wife thinks is necessary, but I'm ready to go. There's sometimes we would leave during the night because I was so excited to go home. I go out here and I get on 75 and I go south and I head to Chattanooga, about 90 miles headed down that way. You try to get through the split there and try to get through all that traffic. You make that big curve around Chattanooga there and you're going up a few miles and then you'll turn off and go left on Highway 59 south. You go through Gadsden, Alabama. You go on through Birmingham. You go on down through Tuscaloosa. You get on down there. You're getting close to Mississippi. You go into Meridian, Mississippi. You stay on 59 South. You end up finding yourself in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. I know I'm getting close. Because just a few miles past Hattiesburg, Mississippi, there's a highway called Highway 49. It's nothing to you, but it leads home for us. You go south on Highway 49. You go through Perkinson, Mississippi. You go through McHenry, Mississippi. You go on down through Socha and you turn and you go down to Interstate 10. You go east on Interstate 10 for about 8 or 10 miles and you'll see a sign that says North Biloxi, Mississippi. You know, an amazing thing happens. The closer I get there when I'm driving, the more excited I get. But it seems like the heavier my foot gets. I mean, I look up and what was 55 is now 75, pushing toward 85. I get excited. I get a little antsy when I know I'm getting ready to be home where family is and loved ones in. Listen, one day that's going to be our heaven's journey. One day we're going to shout, hallelujah, 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 when we cross the border into the heavens and we see our Christ there. Wow, that makes me excited. That's what I want to just shout. I want to go out here on the street and just say, you know what? I need to look and say, hallelujah, hallelujah. They say, brother, are you crazy? No, I'm just happy. I'm happy I'm going home one day. When's the last time you shouted hallelujah? When's the last time you let your heart just simply praise the Lord? When's the last time you've been so overwhelmed with your salvation? What God is going to do against sin and who and what he represents and who he is and what he's promised for you. When's the last time you've been so overwhelmed that all you could do is come up and kneel at an altar and humble yourself and say, hallelujah? When's the last time you made that trip? Have you ever made it? When's the last time you or your wife or your husband or your family has ever been in an altar? Knelt together and just said, hallelujah. God, we got so much to be thankful for. It says, after these things, after all the difficult times in life, we can still shout, hallelujah. When's the last time you've done that? One word that sums up who God is, who Christ is, and what he's done for you is that one word, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Bow your heads just for a moment. I said hallelujah with my word. I don't know what yours is. It could be thanks. It could be grace. It could be whatever you want it to be. But I do know this.